Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television at home has to be down at zero, or nobody will understand either of us. You can SMS the show also on 4478-0000-8066. Or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, a devastating report from the United Nations today tells the story of the hundreds, uncounted and uncountable hundreds, but hundreds of Afghan children killed by the United States in Afghanistan in just the last 5 years. The first 6 years of the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan has not, and I suppose now cannot, be charted. Now, I'm asking you to remember the grief felt by the President of the United States, indeed virtually everyone outside of the National Rifle Association in the United States, about the killing of a fraction of that number of innocent children in a schoolroom, most recently in the state of Connecticut, and indeed in other similar events. And yet, the American media, nor the British media, have given any attention at all to the massacre of hundreds of Afghan children. And I'm going to ask you the question tonight that I ask all the time. Do Afghan mothers not weep when their children die? Do Afghan children not bleed? Is their blood not red when they are killed by the foreign occupation of their country? I'm only asking because it seems at last that the occupation governments are trying to talk to those who are resisting them as a means of smoothing a path to withdraw from the war and the occupation. In which case, why did they not do that before? And how many of our soldiers, and above all, how many Afghan children, women and men, civilians, have been killed during the time that those talks could have been being held? And Mali, Amnesty International has denounced France for serious human rights abuses. Already, the Mali military dictatorship are under fire, having been caught on camera committing atrocities against Tuareg and other opponents of their military junta. Going well, the Mali intervention, isn't it? David Cameron said there'd be no British boots on the ground. Now there's hundreds of British boots on the ground. He said that they won't be involved in combat, but that's what Dr. John Reed said when he sent our soldiers into Helmand province in Afghanistan. At that time, Britain had lost two soldiers in the Afghan war. Now we've lost 470 or more. He said then that a shot might not be fired in anger by those British soldiers. What's the betting that shots in anger are soon being fired at British forces in Mali? And finally, I asked the question again that I asked David Cameron and got a reply but no answer. Why are we helping France to kill Al-Qaeda in Mali but helping Al-Qaeda to kill Christians, Shiites, and other ethnic and religious minorities in Syria? Is it good Al-Qaeda in Syria and bad Al-Qaeda in Mali? And if so, where's that policy going to lead? It's all coming up over the next 50 minutes or so with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Of course, these are my views. They're not the views necessarily or even at all of Press TV, and they're certainly not the views of any government. They're my views. Nobody paid me to hold them, and no one can stop me from expressing them. Adam's the first caller on the line. He's always welcome. He wants to talk about Mali. Adam is in London. Adam, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Galloway.
Nice to hear your voice.
It's been a long time, and I'm always grateful to have this platform to express my view at the world that We live in a two-tier world where one is being branded as evil and another one is being branded as the good ones and the police of the world. Mm. It's rather unfortunate. There has been a consensus in Africa that no country whatsoever will ever support a coup maker or a military junta. Mm. This is a situation whereby Ahmadu Sorogu was trained in America, was given a training in America. Then he came back to Mali and staged a coup on the premises that the Tuareg rebels are not being taken care of or are not being handled by the government. So they are approaching the capital city of Mali, which is Bamako. In no time, the Tuareg group, when this military junta took control of a country, overthrew a constitutional government, which of course they were going to have elections, the Tuareg group had the opportunity to advance even more. This is a situation, and now they've called for their cousins, those who gave him the mandate to go to Mali and stage coup, foment trouble so that they can come and consolidate their stealing in Mali and killing of innocent people in Mali. We had Mahatma Gandhi, who was labeled as a terrorist. Nelson Mandela was once a terrorist, but now they are the heroes of the West. So you see, if you are fighting for what belongs to you, and you are fighting a cause, you will be termed as a terrorist so that we can come and kill you and take what don't belong to us. It's very unfortunate. It's very sad that the African Union is sitting toothless bulldog.
Well, I want to ask you that, Adam. Adam, let me stop you, though. I must say you have as succinctly summed up the situation as anyone I've ever heard, and I'm grateful to you for that. But I want to ask you this. There are few sights more revolting than Africans or people anywhere else from the former empires out on the streets waving the flags of their former occupiers, their looters, the people who took everything from their land, even the people themselves, to ship to the New World, as they called it, as slaves. There are few sights more revolting than such people out on the streets welcoming the return of their former empire to their country. Has it surprised you in Mali, and will it last?
It doesn't surprise me at all, George. You look at the resolution that we went in to kill Mr. Gaddafi. South Africa and Nigeria supported it. Nigeria is a country that should have a spring in there. It shouldn't be Arab Spring. It should be African Spring, because Nigeria is overtaken by the British and the Americans. The Nigerians don't owe its country again. But yet Mr. Jonathan Goodluck and his people went to support a bill that went in to massacre people of Libya and kill their leader.
Killed a lot of black people.
We don't cater for ourselves and we don't think of ourselves. It's inferiority complex. They think that if Britain, America or French comes into your country, they are coming to aid you or they are coming to help you. They don't know that the bigger picture is to come and steal, loot, and even take the human resources that is to develop the continent of Africa. George, it's rather unfortunate that the African Union, I say again, is a toothless bulldog. They are now being sponsored by the Chinese. You see where it's going. The headquarters was built in Addis Ababa, was sponsored by Chinese grants. So if you have people that cannot even come together to have a united force, you think we can develop our continent? No. Dr. Oshadjo Kwame Nkrumah, in the 60s, he had the ambition to develop nuclear technology in Africa, in Ghana, just because we have to add value to our raw materials to sell it in the international market as a finished product, not a raw material. If you have nuclear, Ghana could have supplied electricity to Ivory Coast, Togo, Burkina Faso, and all the rest. Therefore, we can barter trade and create employment.
Adam, I could talk to you all night. You're a real star here on Comment. I'm grateful to you for that, and long live the memory of Kwame Nkrumah. Reza is in Iran, wants to talk about both Mali and Afghanistan. Reza, welcome back to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, as we can see, first of all, I want to talk about Afghanistan. First of all, as we can see in Afghanistan, after the revolution and after coming off President Karzai, the U.S. opened the friendship with the Afghan, and as a result, we can see They don't have independence on their economy, politics, and security. American soldiers can easily kill a group of people without any reason. And they never stand for that. And today, they're saying that we're ready to sit around a table with Iran. But the supreme leader of Iran shows that he stands firm for our beliefs. And I want to add this on conclusion. Afghanian people, and children killed by U.S. bomb, and Iranian children killed by U.S. and UE sanction on this country.
Well, that's a very good point, Reza. That there are more ways than one to skin a cat, as we say in Britain, and there are more ways to kill children than just bombing them. You can shell them, rocket them, bomb them, drone them, and you can also starve them and deprive them of things that they need in order to stay alive. And you can do that by crippling inhuman sanctions. But if they imagine that the Iranian people are going to be brought to their knees by their sanctions, I think they are making a very serious mistake. Reza in Iran, thanks for that. Salahuddin, famous name, is in Ireland on Afghanistan. Salahuddin, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to comment about the killing from 2008 to until now, killing children in Afghanistan.
Yes.
By UN.
Hundreds, according to the UN.
Yeah, they kill a lot of children, hundreds of children in Afghanistan. But they are not thinking those children has parents, like they have a brother, they have a father. And whenever you're killing someone, member of their family or member of my family, what I will feel?
Well, exactly. Salahuddin, while I'm talking, please turn the volume on your TV down to zero and then I'll let you back in again. Every one of those children had a mother and father, had brothers and sisters, had cousins and grandparents. Every one of those children lived in a village or in a town, in a neighborhood, in a community, in a country. Every one of those killings built up more hatred and bitterness against the people who killed that child. Every one of them is more angry and raging with more indignation this day than they were the day before that child was killed, Salahuddin. This is a means by which our countries are garnering and building up more and more hatred and bitterness against us, no?
Yes. I want to say also, like, when they're killing the children, they doesn't think their parents, what they're going to do after, like, what I feel when my children is killed. I will be stand up to beat them as well. So my point of view to the world leader, killing is not a solution.
No, killing is the problem. That's the problem. And the double problem, Salahuddin, is this. A little girl in Pakistan, Malala Yousaf, was shot in the head and grievously wounded by sick or wicked or evil individuals because they didn't like the campaign that she was mounting for girls' education in Pakistan, even though the very essence of Islam is for the education of girls as well as boys. When she was brought to Britain for treatment, she was instantly a folk hero, endlessly covered on the mass media here. And I was very glad about that. What happened to her was beyond condemnation, was despicable beyond words. But the same media have completely ignored this UN report, which describes hundreds of Afghan children killed in exactly the way that Malala was grievously wounded. Killed by hot steel, razor sharp, spinning through the air, smashing into their skulls, cutting them into pieces. There's not a tear shed in the political class or in the media class for those Afghan children. They don't even know that they exist, let alone know their names or feel any empathy for their parents. That's why I have to conclude that the sincerity of the grief for Malala, and indeed for other children caught up in similar circumstances elsewhere, has to either be fake or at least the consequence of double standards. That's my point, Salahuddin. Thanks for the call from Ireland. Let's go to Barry in Norway on both these topics. Barry, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway. Good to be with you.
And good to hear you, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Galloway, I don't know where we are heading, where the world is heading. But you see, if the world should listen to the former general of America, General Wesley Clark, he already mentioned this, you know, maybe last year, that his country, America, is ready to go and kill more people because they planned this already with the Zionists for them to attack in certain countries and maybe almost 7 countries. They started already from Iraq, you know, Yemen, and now, you know, Afghanistan. Look how many people are dying, how many innocent children are dying, definitely. And not only children, but many people are dying in Afghanistan. And America don't care. These Zionists don't care. What all they are after is to enrich themselves. In fact, they've put the whole world into astray. Now, Libya, they created these Taliban and
Al-Qaeda.
How do you call them?
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda. And, you know, the time they were in Libya, they were not there to help Libyans. They were just there to try and, you know, to get rid of the Chinese and the Russians so that they would start enriching themselves. And now the French are on their way to Mali. They don't love Africans. How Africans should learn lesson. How can you trust your former colonies? These neocons are there just to rob us, to take our minerals. They don't even respect us, you know, in their immigrations. Look, the Canadians are there already with their 14 companies robbing Malians, that poor country. You understand? And also, how can my fellow Africans hold these French flags, welcoming the French? It's a big shame. But you see, we don't have even good leaders in that Africa. If we have good leaders in Africa...
Barry, very, very good call, as always, brother. Very, very powerful points and very well made. I just remind you of this. There were some people waving American and British flags in Baghdad when the invading force arrived. But it didn't last long. Let's hear from Davidson in Zambia on Afghanistan, as well as Mali, perhaps. Davidson, welcome.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
I'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you so much. I'd like to firstly say the weapons that are being used in Afghanistan to kill the innocent children are new and very sophisticated weapons. They kept developing them. The Western world keeps developing weapons to kill innocent children and also non-combatants like fathers and mothers. Those that cannot fight. Those that have weapons are able to escape, but they are only targeting small children and defenseless mothers.
Well, most of these small children actually were killed from very high in the sky, and many were killed by a vehicle very high in the sky which didn't even have a man in it, but was controlled by a man in a laboratory jacket many hundreds, maybe thousands of miles away. And we now know from the leaked document from the Department of Justice that President Obama finds it absolutely conscionable even to kill American citizens in such a way. And the only caveat that is entered is if there will be excessive civilian collateral damage. There's no definition, of course, of excessive. Davidson, thanks for the call. Simon is in South Sudan, as they call it. On the subject of Mali. Simon, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Where do you stand on Mali?
I think Mali, the rebels from Mali, they have the right to fight against the government because they are fighting for their rights. What the Western countries have done is destruction of Mali property. Like, civilians are dying every day. Every time civilians are dying. France has come and did it because they wanted the economy of Mali. This is not the way how they jump from France to Mali. Mali is under Africa. Africa has the union, what we call African Union. African Union are supposed to handle that situation in Mali,
yeah,
but not France. France is...
Just remind the viewers, Simon, Mali used to be called French Sudan, and you're now South Sudan, and there's a third Sudan. But of course, independence means nothing if foreigners are still running your country, and foreigners are coming back to your country with their armed forces in order to kill the people of your country. Is there much debate about this in South Sudan?
My country is not run by foreigners. We are in a different state. Foreigners did not come and run on our country.
No, but they are there in what was called...
Yeah.
No, but they are in French Sudan, as Mali used to be called, and maybe will be called again. Who knows?
No, that's nothing like that. The people of Mali, from where they bring the rebels from Mali, they also did the same like what South Sudan did to the government of Sudan. They break out from the government and form their own government. And they have the right, even if they are Muslims, even if they are Christians, they have the rights. They are fighting for their rights.
Yeah, of course, it's a military dictatorship in Mali.
Of course, a government cannot come out from militarism. They can fight, and at the end of the day, it will be a democratic government.
When will that end of the day come, Simon? When can we expect free elections in formerly French Sudan?
Of course, we did it after 5 years. Like for example, in South Sudan, we will do ours in 2015, which is nearly one and a half year to come.
Okay, I hope so, Simon, and I hope you keep watching and keep calling. Let's hear quickly from Mohsen in London or in Afghanistan. Mohsen, welcome.
Hi, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, good. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, George. Actually, I'm really thankful to you and to Press TV as well to raising this issue on Afghanistan, and especially the children in Afghanistan and women. And all Afghanistan is suffering loss on the Russian era, and now in this so-called war on terror by Americans. And first thing I can tell you, I can see very closely these families who suffered, and they live in my area in Kashmir side and in rural area in Pakistan. And the Americans and the British forces, they've done the crime on the children is unspeakable. And I have no words to say about what they did in Afghanistan, and still they're doing now. And if I so many times I can think about it, why they can raid in Afghanistan, the country, if you can have so much poverty and so much people, if you see the living standard of that country, even they don't have the basic facilities of their life, and they raided this country, and the people, and who's the suffering? Who's the people suffering? They just try to, and firstly, I will come on the point, who created this Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda is created by CIA and this all, some of agencies in Pakistan as well, when this...
Well, of course, there's a lot of debate, Mohsen, on who Al-Qaeda are. One thing is certain, as you said, they were created in the first place by the very Western governments that are now killing them in Mali, although also using them at the same time in Syria. That's why I asked David Cameron, what's the difference between the hand-chopping, throat-cutting fanatics that you're killing in Mali and the hand-chopping, throat-cutting fanatics that you're giving money and weapons and political and diplomatic support to in Syria? I'm only asking. Now, I'll be back, God willing, in a couple of minutes with the second half of comment. Don't go away. You don't want to miss it, I promise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is The Great Debate, especially if you phoned in. The contact details are being given below. You can also SMS and email the show. We're talking about the United Nations report, which reveals that the United States invasion and occupation army has killed hundreds of Afghan children, mainly from the skies, but some from down below also. And moreover, that nobody in the West appears to give a damn about it. Certainly not the political class that continues to send our own soldiers into the maw, even though they are currently negotiating with the Taliban on terms that they could have negotiated at any time over the last 11 years, meaning that all those soldiers, and more importantly, all the tens of thousands of civilian Afghans, many of them, it now turns out, children, could have been saved. Not to mention all the treasure that could have been saved and could have been spent on Britain's hospitals, for example, which are revealed this week in a prime ministerial statement to be, in Staffordshire at least, of a standard that would probably be recognised in Afghanistan, or Mali for that matter, which is the other subject that we're talking about tonight. France and Britain have invaded and reoccupied the African country of Mali, having successfully divided Sudan into two different countries. They're now reoccupying a country that used to be called the French Sudan. Maybe it will be called the French Sudan again. We're talking now to Osman, who is in London and who wants to talk about Mali. Osman, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway.
Go ahead, sir.
I would like to thank you for the program you're doing.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I wish you live longer because of the braveness that I have seen in you.
Thank you, brother.
Leading the convoy to Gaza.
Thank you, brother.
Before I go on to my Malian issue.
Thank you, brother. By the way, I've got another convoy coming up to Kashmir. Keep your eye on that one. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I wish I would join you by the grace of God.
Inshallah.
And go to Kashmir myself to Inshallah. Also participate in the good you're doing, Mr. Galloway.
Thank you, sir.
But before I go on a comment to the Malian crisis, I don't even understand the reason why a sovereign nation or continent like Africa, I should say, that most African leaders, especially the ECOWAS, the African Union, are leading their military to, support these foreign troops, especially the France, the French,
yeah,
to invade a country, a sovereign nation. Without Africans, they have no any courage to say, no, we cannot do it and let's solve this problem diplomatically. But sorry to say, they even allow their military to join them to go to Mali and invade Mali. But I should say that Africans, they should have the courage and braveness to say, we can solve our problems. It is not Europe that are coming to Mali to solve the problem for Mali. Thank you, Mr.
Tell me, Osman, before you go, if you're still there, Osman, Africans produced great leaders. Kwame Nkrumah, we talked about earlier, Patrice Lumumba, in my view, the greatest of all the African leaders, murdered cruelly by colonialism and by the CIA in the 1960s, Nelson Mandela and other leaders of the liberation movement in southern Africa. What's wrong, Osman, in your view, with the current crop of African leaders that they seem to be so easily taken in by the former colonial masters?
Well, you're right, Mr. Galloway. You know, these leaders, they are there to make Africa a united continent and making Africa without barriers. But the current leaders that we have now, sorry to say, they don't think the way Kwame Nkrumah, Lumumba, and Nyerere are thinking of. But, you know, what they think is to say yes, sir, to all their colonial masters. So I think today's leaders are different from the leaders of yesterday. So I think now...
So we need an African spring, Osman, yeah?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, I understand.
I'll sign up to that. Let me help in any way I can. Osman, please stay in touch. Get in touch with me anytime through Twitter at George Galloway or on Facebook, George Galloway MP. There's hundreds of thousands of you there. And I do my best to stay in touch with you directly on those platforms. Osman, thanks very much. Cramo's on the line from Italy, on Mali. Cramo, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, thanks, bro. How are you doing?
By the grace of God, well, and good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to contribute about the conflict in Mali.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is good for the France intervention in Mali.
Tell me.
Because, you know what? These jihadists, they are criminals. I'm telling you. Because if you have passed through Sahara to Libya and what have you, you're going to know that these people are criminals. Because they can beat you and even kill you and take what doesn't belong to them.
Well, in that case, Cramo, why don't we go the whole hog and abolish Mali and call it by its former name, French Sudan? And why doesn't Mali just become a colony of the French? Just as Libya could maybe become a colony of the country you're calling me from, Italy. After all, Mr. Mussolini once ruled Libya, as indeed he once ruled at least the majority of Abyssinia, now Ethiopia. I mean, why don't we go the whole hog and just scrap anything called African independence and get the white colonialists to come back and run your countries? Why not?
Mr. Garaway, the problem now is, look at what these people are doing. They call themselves jihadists. They believe in Sharia. And then they are thieves. Look at what they did, looting banks and what have you. So this is Sharia.
Well, I don't know how much they looted, Cramo. And I'm certainly not holding any banners for the Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, believe me. But however much they've stolen, I promise you this, it'll be less than France will steal. However much they've looted, I promise you this, it'll be less than France will loot, less than Britain will loot, less than Italy, less than Germany, less than Belgium, less than the Netherlands. They'll all loot you far more than any jihadists could ever dream of looting you. Don't you understand, man, that that's what empire is for? That it's an organized crime gang? Not of a few jihadists in the Maghreb, but of the big metropolitan powers with their armies and navies and air forces who can call themselves emperors and can call other men as they please. Don't you understand that, Cramo?
Not understand you.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
What I'm saying, these jihadists, you people came to, you were able to capture some part of Mali. Instead of you to set an example, a good example for people to follow, and then you are looting and what have you. What is that?
Well, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right, Cramo. But it's a matter for Malians to sort out. Or, if they cannot do so, it's a matter for Africans to sort out. The one group of people who have no right at all to be back in Mali are the French colonialists and the British colonialists who stole everything they could carry from Africa, including the Africans, putting them into ships, chaining them, and sailing them across the sea as slaves. Can't you understand that, man? Ibrahim is in Nigeria, wants to talk about Mali. Ibrahim, welcome.
I'm on the land.
Go ahead, you're on the air. Ibrahim.
I'm on the line, I'm listening, please.
Ibrahim, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, I'm on the line.
Go ahead, sir, say your piece.
Yeah, Jogalori. It's my name, hello.
Yes, go on.
Hello, I'm hearing you, Jogalori.
Yes, speak up, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. In fact, I was very happy to hear your voice. And may Allah will assist you for all what you have been doing for the world. And I promise you, inshallah, you will not regret this in life, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So, thank you very much. Your gallery, please. You know, if people like you are very much in the world, I believe the world is going to be okay. At least we will be able to survive in the world. But today, I don't know what the world is going to. Some people call themselves, they are trying to say they are empire. You see, these people are the white. They are ready to colonize the Africa, not Africa, including the Asia. They are looking for the west of the world. They are looking for the area where the world, where the west is. So in order to colonize the people over there. So why can they not develop their country? and try to maintain their country. Now looking into another man, into another nation as well, into another state as well, and saying that they are trying to assist people. They are just killing people, not that they are assisting, they are terrorists. So imagine if Africa and all the Islamic brothers in the world can come together and try to, you know, to bring with power and try to force them out of their nation.
Amen, Ibrahim. That's the big question. We're not going to solve that one tonight, but I'm grateful to you for your kind remarks and for your contribution to the debate. Mohammed's on the line from Iran. Wants to talk about Mali. Mohammed, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, George. Good evening.
Welcome. Go ahead.
First of all, if you'll let me, I say something about your program. Many, many thanks because of your program. You make a good area that anyone intends to express any opinion. And this is a good point for you and your team and the Press TV. Actually, I have found it trying hard to find some program like you and to send all message and all to other people in the West, but I can't find. And I will great if you tell us some program like you. And about the Mali, the truth about independence, George, I'm sure Mali still is colony for French. And for security, French energy. George, this is show nature of Western government. And about us, if we accept the situation of negotiation with U.S., we have the same tragedy in Mali.
Well, you're right, Mohammed. You're right. I mean, and you're phoning from Iran, and a case is there in point. Iran's big crime, so far as the United States and the EU is concerned, is to insist that it is an independent and sovereign country and that the days when foreigners ruled it are over. Long may that continue. Would that it continued elsewhere in the world. Rozo is on the line from South Africa. He wants to talk about Mali. Also, Rozo, welcome to the show. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air, sir. Rozo, are you there? No, we've lost that call. And let me just take this moment to remind you that you call us, we call you back, we establish a clear line, and then you turn the television down to zero on the volume, because otherwise nobody can understand either of us. And we are discussing very important issues here. We're discussing the new colonization of the former French Sudan, now known as Mali, maybe tomorrow to be known as French Sudan as well. Sudan has already been chopped up into two pieces in order to please colonialism, whatever Simon says, and who knows if the French will stick their label on it again. And we're talking about the UN report on Afghanistan, which reveals that hundreds of Afghan children have been killed by the United States military forces in just the last 5 years, the previous 6 years, presumably uncountable, certainly uncounted. We're asking why there's this double standard, why it is that the whole world can grieve and weep about the deaths of school children in Connecticut, but doesn't even know or apparently care about the deaths of hundreds of school children in Afghanistan, if they were lucky enough to go to school. We're wondering why the US president can love his own children so much, but be so unmoved about the death of other people's children. We're wondering if it's because that Western politicians and journalists imagine that Afghan mothers do not cry for their dead children in the same way as they would cry for their own. If they imagine that the blood of Afghan children is not as red as the blood in the veins of their own children. Or is it that they imagine that the deaths of children in Afghanistan are not of the same value as the deaths of children in America or anywhere else? Rozo is in South Africa and back on the line talking about Mali. Rozo, hope you can hear me this time. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Go on, sir.
Yes, I'm very happy for the program you put on the TV. I just want to talk about the problem of Mali because I just see a French is in Mali with the weapons is using against the rebels. But my problem is what inside of the rebels, there is also the Malian people, they are there. So, but those guns they're using against the rebels. Also, the guns is going to the innocent children and the people. So there is a lot of blood of Malian people to the north, also they die, the innocent. So my problem is, why not there is a possibility to just put the two, I mean, rebels and those people together on the table, they can discuss about that issue. Because when they're using those guns, it's killing now the innocent people. You can even see a lot of people, they're out of Mali, they're going in the bush, suffering, they are refugees, you know, all of those things. So why not France cannot put those two people together and they discuss together about that issue?
Well, because that would defeat the real purpose of the invasion, Rosso, which is to steal Mali's wealth, to reestablish French hegemony over Mali as a prelude to reestablishing it in as much of Africa as they can. But the British are trying to do exactly the same thing. The Germans will not be so slow in this scramble for Africa as they were in the first, in the 19th century. And who knows, even King Leopold of the Belgians may be disinterred from his grave and come back and reclaim the Congo. Why not? If it's the era of new white European colonies in Africa, I mean, who knows? Maybe in your country they'll ask the Boers to start running the country again. Why not, Rosso? When are the Africans going to stand up and unite and tell the colonial powers that Africa is now free and will determine its own future? Rosso, thanks for the call. All the way from South Africa, Rafiq is on the line from Leicester. He wants to talk about both these topics. Rafiq, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, George. How are you doing, all right?
By the grace of God, good. I'll be in Leicester next week, but I can't say where and when yet.
I love to know where you're coming so I can come and meet you.
Okay.
Right, George, I've been watching these TVs every day and been watching all the scenarios. I can't understand one thing, right? When I see America and all these Europeans getting together, it reminds me of the pirates. They're going to rob anybody they can. And this is what's happening. They bombed Iraq because there's a weapon of mass destruction. There was none. They're sitting there. Oil has been siphoned. Then they go to, now they're going to Mali. And then I don't know where they're going to go. They just keep robbing anything they can come across.
Anywhere they get the chance, Rafiq. They'll go anywhere that they get the chance, and they have the propaganda machine, which is called the British media, which can switch like that to expertise on Mali. Who knew that the Sky News teledollies, and it's the men I'm talking about, knew anything about Mali or where it was? Suddenly they're experts on the Tuareg and Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb. As long as they've got a piece in their ear with someone feeding them the line, they can get themselves trembling with indignation about the chopping of hands, for example, by Islamists in Mali. Even though Britain's best friend is Saudi Arabia, where they're chopping hands every Friday. Thanks very much. Cutting heads every Friday. Thanks very much. But it doesn't put David Cameron off going there to sell them more and more weapons and give them more and more diplomatic support. They even supported Saudi Arabia invading Bahrain so they could kill the democracy protesters there. They're supporting the same hand choppers in Syria. Not all the people revolting in Syria are hand chopping, throat cutting Al-Qaeda, of course. There are many people in Syria who are very unhappy with their government, many of whom have risen up against it. But does anyone doubt that the foreign, Western-backed Al-Qaeda hand-chopping, throat-cutting jihadists are the ones doing most of the killing in Syria today? Does anybody doubt that, Rafiq? You still there?
Well, why can't, if they're playing this sort of dirty game to hurt Syria and the people, why can't they do it with Israel? Send some people there, cut them up and whatever, get the land back and peace can be established, I think.
Well, they don't want peace, Rafiq. They want more and more war. Thanks for the call, though. Maybe I'll see you in Leicester next week. Probably the last call is from Norway. Abdulwali on Mali. Welcome, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George.
Welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, what everybody was saying last time, which means, you know, I don't know why French, you know, French, they go to Mali, you know, because Africa is for Africans, you know. And I think it's time that they realize, you know, everything has an end, you know. And they, I don't know why French citizens, they want to die in Mali. I don't know the reason. But to be fair, I think, I don't even believe that the French people, you know, they are happy with French soldiers. They go in and dying for a reason that they don't know, you know. So if they want to help the country, there is another way to help it, not by force, you know. They're just showing, you know, the muscle and,
Well, they're in there for the long haul, Abdulwali. Thanks for that call. I'm going to squeeze in one from Saudi Arabia. They don't come often. Abdul Salam on Mali. Abdul Salam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. I salute you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
When you see me, I salute you. I'm talking about Mali. The reason I'm talking about Mali is normally, before Mali, we know we have Congo. Congo was invaded by...
By Rwanda. Yeah.
But I don't know why France doesn't hesitate to go there. But immediately in Mali, they quickly go there. So this is double standard. This was happening because of what, in my opinion, because of Rwanda don't have enough Muslims, I think. That's why they didn't go there quickly. Because this something happened in Mali, I think that politically they can solve it, not to go and attack Mali.
Well, Rwanda, Abdul Salam, sorry we didn't have more time to talk, but let me tell you in a nutshell, Rwanda's rulers are Tony Blair's best friends. Rwanda's rulers are the IMF and the World Bank's best friends. They're the neocon, neoliberal darlings in Africa. Therefore, they're allowed to commit crimes in the Congo. Other people can expect to be invaded. It's been marvelous for me. Hope it was for you. And if it was, come back next week. God willing, go in peace.
Hello, if you just comment your name and the question, you that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You can do it.